Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Daf Hei and Tamura. We're on the bottom of the Amud Beis, and we're starting today's sugya. Today's sugya is a popular sugya. It's a Shas sugya. It's something which is quoted often from various different perspectives. But the Gemara over here takes it basically head on. The Gemara starts off Amar Abaye. Kol milsa damar rachmana lo savid and mavid mahani. So we start off first with the opinion of Abaye. Abaye says that anything that the Torah says don't do, meaning what we'll call a lav, right? There are 248 of them, 365 of them in the Torah. I'm not sure if it's going to be true by all 365, but any time the Torah says don't do something, so im avid mahani. So Abaye says that if you do it, it's going to be effective, right? And Abaye says, and think about it, meaning, what's behind my position? Because why are you getting malchus? Why are you getting punished? Okay? There must be a reason why you're getting punished. So it must be because you did something. Meaning, it must have some sort of effectiveness. Okay. And then the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rava. Rava Amar lo mahani. Rava says, no, it's not effective. It's not going to work. Why not? Because it's not going to help, and the reason why you're getting malchus is because you tried to violate Nisa in the Torah. You didn't succeed in violating Nisa in the Torah, but just for an attempt of violating Nisa in the Torah. Good. Basic machlok is over here between Abaye and Rava. Now, stay tuned because today's daf, tomorrow's daf. I think that's it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Today's daf and tomorrow's daf is going to be a review of not all 365 Yisurim in the Torah, but we're going to go through a handful, a smattering of Averis in the Torah, where we want to see who's right, Abaye or Rava. Now let's try to put this machlokus into a certain type of context, because really for today, you need to know the positions, you need to know the positions well, Abaye and Rava, because that's really our entire day today. So let's think about this from the perspective of Abaye. Abaye says, when you see a lav in the Torah, so what's that lav telling you? The lav is telling you, Akadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I don't want you to do this. Okay? Now, what's contained there in the lav is it's not a preventative measure. Meaning, it's not that what I'm telling you not to do, not that it doesn't work. It works, but I just don't want you to do it. Right? From Abaye's perspective, the whole lav in the Torah is just instructions for us of things not to do, but if you do it, in other words, right, if I may, right, don't put your finger into the socket over there, okay? Now, what happens if you put your finger in the socket? Okay, you'll feel it, okay? What the Torah is telling us is don't do it, but, you know, there will be consequences if you do it. And Abaye says, and that's the whole reason why you're getting malchus. You're getting malchus because you actually did something that you weren't supposed to do. I understand that, but agreed. But Abaye is looking at the malchus, and it's almost like he's working backwards. Oh, you're getting malchus. It must be that what you did had some sort of effect. Good. That's Abaye. Now Rava says, no, you misunderstand the lav altogether. What's behind the lav is not the Torah's instructions of don't do this. The Torah's instructions are, you can't do that. Meaning, I'm telling you not to do it. I'm also telling you, it's not going to work. Whatever the Torah says is prohibited is not that just you can't do it, but it's just simply not going to work. Okay, now, right, and that's Rava's. And why are you getting malchus for attempt? Just for trying. Meaning, you tried something out, so therefore you're going to get malchus. Okay, that's the machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Now, let's just put a little more context to this whole discussion between Abaye and Rava. Because my example with sticking your finger in the socket, although being a silly example, but let me ask you a question, though. Right? The Torah says not to eat treif. Right? It's a law in the Torah. Do you think Abaye and Rava are going to be arguing about that? Meaning, of course not. I mean, what happens when you eat treif? There's nothing to accomplish, so to say. Meaning, the whole discussion of Abaye and Rava, I avid mahani, avid lo mahani, meaning, did you eat? Yeah, you ate, obviously. So in other words, there's no discussion to be had. So for many of the lavim in the Torah, it's just simply, there's no there's no point to discussing whether it's effective, whether it's not effective. However, in many areas of the Torah, we need to know, the Torah says not to do it, was it effective? Right? I mean, we're going to go through so many examples, so I'm not sure if it's worthwhile for me to start giving out other examples, although there are many. The Torah over here, I mean, I'm sorry, the Gemara over here, I don't think is really, like, definitive. I think the Gemara over here is just giving examples of where this plays out. Meisvei. So, let's go through the Gemara. Let's see examples of the Gemara where the Gemara is now going to pit Abaye against Rava. Okay, but just, you got to remember the positions. Abaye says the Avid Mahane, and Rava says the Avid Lo Mahane. Meisvei, the Gemara starts off with a discussion that we had just one day ago. That would be known as yesterday. And that would be called Onishigiresh. I'm sorry. We just go through the first part of the brisa. A man is man, it's a woman. He violates a woman, so the Torah says that he has to pay kenas and he has to pay all the bodily damage. Plus, the Torah also says that he has to marry her. Plus, lo yuchal shachal kol yamav, can't send her away forever. Okay, the consequence of being man is a woman. Now, What if he's megarish? What if he divorces her? So the brisa says, we saw the brisa just yesterday. Im Yisrael hu machzir ve'en oloke. So if he's a Yisrael, which means that he can remarry her. So mig machzir grushaso. It's not only can he, but it's also a mitzvah. But here it's more than just a mitzvah, because over here he actually wasn't supposed to divorce her in the first place. The Torah says lo yuchal shacha. So you're not allowed to divorce her, but he did. So he'll remarry her and he won't get malchus. Okay. Now, I amar kevin da avara memra derachman alaki hanami loke tiyufta derava. So the Gemara starts off with a very simple question, right? Rava. Right? We've got to also remember who we're addressing right now. Rava. You say you get malchus not because what you do is effective, but just simply for the attempt. Just simply for the attempt. Over here, we have attempted divorce. I know we usually talk about attempted murder. But over here, we have attempted divorce. He tried to divorce her. Okay? And so for you, Rava, you should be handing out malchus just for the attempted divorce. Now, you're listening to me carefully, by the way, because I'm saying something so strange. It's attempted divorce. What does that mean, attempted divorce? Did he divorce her or did he not divorce her? Was the divorce effective or was it not? I dare say, of course it was effective, because the instructions are that he has to remarry her. Well, why would he spend the money of remarrying her if they weren't actually divorced? But the Gemara at the very first stage of this discussion is assuming that this is just an attempted divorce. And Rava, you know, even for attempting to violate Nisr in the Torah, you say that Malchus should be forthcoming. So the Gemara is asking a question according to Rava. But even in the Havamin, it's just such a funny Havamin of the Gemara, it's an attempted divorce. Now, take a look at the top Tosos. Tosos himself kind of tries to fine tune this havamin of the Gemara that you've im tomar in the first Tosfos, like seven lines down from the top of the page. Meaning, remember, we're asking a question according to Rava. What is Rava's position? Rava says it doesn't work. So, if according to Rava it doesn't work, meaning the Torah says you're not allowed to divorce her, and Rava says, okay, it doesn't work. It's an attempted divorce, but it's not a real divorce. So Tosfos says, so she's not divorced, right? And that would mean then that if she had relations with another man, that would be called extramarital relations. And if you're a Kohen and you divorce your Anusa, so shouldn't be a divorce. Meaning, and we learned yesterday's daf, and the Gemara is going to reiterate today, is that he's not allowed to bring her back. What do you mean not allowed to bring her back? Right? Isn't it just an attempted divorce? Okay, so Tosfos tries to soften it a little bit, meaning it's obviously more than just an attempted divorce. Obviously, it is a divorce, but it's not a permanent divorce because he has this obligation to bring her back. Okay? So, again, it's just I'm just pointing out that even the Gemara's Havamina, it's just strange what the Gemara now is suggesting, that this isn't a real divorce, it's just an attempted divorce. But still, according to Rava, Malka should be forthcoming. Amalacha, Shani Hassan, Damakra, Koyamav, Ba'avo, Ba'amod, Vehechzir. And what does the Gemara answer in defense of Rava? The answer is, it's not a definitive lav. Meaning, Rava says, of course you're going to get malchus for every lav. Of course. And even if your lav does not have effectiveness, you're going to get malchus as well. Here, the lav is a, the lav doesn't end with a period. It ends with, there's no point of closure of the lav. What does that mean? It means that when you violate a lav, what are you doing? Torah says not to do it. I do it. Okay, let's move on. Okay. Meaning that's a lav. A lav has a definitive ending. This doesn't have a definitive ending. Why? Because once you divorce her, now the Torah says, oh, you divorced her? Okay, no problem. Just marry her again. Meaning there's a way to rectify that which you did. Or like how we said yesterday, it's nituk. Meaning lav hanitak lase. Meaning the Torah says, don't do it. But if you do it, here's how to fix it. So over here, same story. So don't do it, and here's how to fix it.
What time would he get the lashes?
That's exactly the point. That's why he doesn't. Meaning, but the Gemara has to explain according to Rava why he doesn't. Meaning, according to Abaye, I understand why he doesn't get lashes, because you only get lashes if what you did is effective. Right. Right. But according to Rava, what you do is not effective. So why are you getting lashes? So Gemara over here says, you don't get lashes, but because it's not a lav. Okay, that's the new way to understand how to understand this parsha. Ula baye ilav damar rachmana kol yamav havamina isuri daavale ibay lahada vibay lo lahada. Now, according to Abaye, remember Abaye is always of the position iavid mahani, meaning it works. And Abaye says, look, had the Torah not said the words kol yamav, I would have thought that you divorce her. You violate a lav, right? And now, you got to remarry her? Maybe yes, maybe no. Meaning it's up to you. That's what the Torah is coming to tell me. The Torah is coming to tell you that, no. Lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. Meaning it's not right. It's not an option to marry her back. It's an obligation to marry her back. Mashmalan, that's the chiddush according to Abaye. Okay? So, sequence according to version number one. Okay, let's see if we can follow. It's a little tricky. The first part of today's daf is a little bit tricky. It's not the easiest way to introduce Abaye and Rava, but it's where the Gemara starts, so obviously it's where we start. So again, the Abaye says that when the Torah says not to do something, if you do it, it's effective. Meaning, despite the fact that the Torah says don't do that, but again, the Torah is just giving instruction not to do that. But still, if you do it, it will have effectiveness. And Rava says no. That doesn't have effective. And each one of them is looking at Malchus. And again, just to review, according to Abaye, what's the Malchus? The Malchus is because you actually violated the lav. Meaning, not in attempt, but you actually successfully violated the lav. Meaning, what you did has effectiveness. And so therefore, you're going to get Malchus. According to Rava, why are you getting Malchus for a lav? Because you attempted to violate the lav. What you do will have no effect whatsoever, but just for merely an attempt, you're going to get malchus. Good? That's a machlokes Abaye and Rava. Our first version of the first discussion was when a man divorces his anusa. He violates a woman. Torah says he has to marry her. Torah says don't divorce her, and he divorces her. Okay? Now, we know as a starting point he doesn't get malchus. The Braisa says he doesn't get malchus. And now it's just a question of how an Abaye and Rava are going to explain the lack of malchus. Why are you not getting malchus? So Rava's explanation is very simple. Because it's not a lav. Meaning you'll get malchus for attempting to violate a lav. This is not a lav. Why isn't it a lav? Because you have a chance of reparation. Because Torah says don't divorce her, but if you divorce her, you're going to have to remarry her. It's what we'll call, the Gemara doesn't use this terminology, the Gemara did yesterday, lav hanitak lase, meaning it's a lav, but you can undo the lav. The fact that you can undo the lav shows you that this is not a lav with a purity at the end. It's a lav with room to fix it. an ability to fix it afterwards. So that kind of lav, you're not going to get malchus for. That's Rava's explanation of why there's no malchus. According to Abaye, what's Abaye's explanation you're not going to get malchus? Well, Abaye says because the Torah says you have to remarry her, so what you did is not going to have effectiveness. So why did it say kol yamav? So Gemara explains, according to Abaye, because it's the Torah's there to tell you that it's not an option, but it's an obligation.
Question. Yeah. Yeah,
well, so that's right. So the answer is no, because there's an indefinite time in which he can remarry her. Meaning, you're right, he could end up spending the rest of his life not remarrying her, but just imagine, though, 5 years later, they say to her, you know, you need to remarry her, and you know you violate a law. They'll say, okay, but I still have time to remarry her. So it's he has that ability to repair the law. So therefore, it doesn't qualify as a law to get malchus. Lishna achrina. Now, what we're going to do is, second version of this discussion, we're just going to flip. Right? Usually that's how the Lishna achrina works. Okay, so here in the second version, first of all, we quote the entire Brisa. What happens if you're Yisrael, so you have to remarry her, and you're not going to get Malkus. And what if you're a Kohen, so you can't remarry her, because now she's a Grusha, albeit you're a Grusha, but still, she's a Grusha, and you are going to get Malkus. Right? Yesterday we talked about why the Kohen's getting Malkus. Right? You remember yesterday's punchline. Well, he's getting Malkus, even though it's a lava nitak lasei, but he can't remarry her because she's a Grusha and he's a Kohen, but he's getting Malkus because he's a Kohen. Meaning, and Kohanim get that. Meaning, they get Malkus even in a place where other people don't get Malkus. They have more responsibility, more privilege, and therefore more liability. Okay. So they're on a higher level. So, but anyway, Ketani Yisrael hu machzir. So the Gemara says, what does it say? It says that if it's Yisrael, he brings it back. To Yufta da Abaye. Now here, in the second version, we're going to first point turn all of our attention to Abaye. Right, Abaye, remember what you said? You said, Yavid Mehani, that if the Torah says don't do it, and you do it, it's effective. So, Torah says you're not allowed to divorce her. Okay, but if you do, it's effective. So, you know what an effective divorce means? It means now that it's over. Right, that would be an effective divorce. So, Abaye, interesting, right, that the Torah says that if you divorce her, you have to remarry her. Don't you say i'aved mehane, that if you do it's effective? Shani hasam dam rechamana kol yamav ba'amod ba'achzer. So again, so the Rabbi says in his defense, correct. On a normal lav, if I violate a normal lav, you're absolutely correct. I'aved mehane, it's effective. Why over here? Because it's the tikkun is built in, meaning the Torah already anticipated the guy who's going to divorce her. And the Torah already says to that guy who's going to divorce her, lo yuchal shachav. What do you mean? You can't divorce her. She has to be in a situation where she's married to you. You divorce her, already built in was the Torah's sivui, the Torah's commandment to go ahead and to remarry her. So this is a different type of love. That's why it's not effective. Rav amalacha, ilo kasar rachmana, kol yamav, havamina luke v'lahadar, dahavale lav greda, dichsiv lo yuchal shachav. Achi kasar kra, kol yamav, l'shavi la'onis, and Rava, what does he need the lo yuchal shacha? Because remember, according to Rava, lo mehane. Rava says that if you try to do something where the Torah says don't do it, it's not effective. So the Gemara says, yeah, exactly. Meaning that when you divorce her, again, I keep going back to that Tosfos point, because you recognize, according to Rava, it's strange. Because if you really are of the position of Lomahane, then the divorce shouldn't even have been a divorce. Okay, so, right.
So you just have to go through the motions.
Correct, meaning, correct. In other words, the Torah says it is a divorce, but you're going to have to remarry her. So it is strange, meaning the more I think about it, the more I realize, even when we're answering for Rava, it's still strange because there is a certain amount of effectiveness to what he did. But the Gemara explains, according to Rava, why then does the Torah say that he has to remarry her? Right? Wouldn't it be obvious according to Rava? So the Gemara says, yeah, but what according to Rava, remember, you get Malkus for attempted violation. Here you attempted to divorce her, so you should get Malkus. The Torah says, lo yichal shachal kol yamav, to tell you, lava nitak lasei. And that's why you're not going to get Malkus. Okay. In this example, right, we're done with the first example. In this example, if I could try to be clear about this, they both agree with the conclusion, meaning Abaye and Rava are not going to dispute in this particular case what's going to happen. He divorces her, he's got to remarry her. But what, from their starting point of what happens when you violate an issur in the Torah, they both need to explain the scenario in different ways. Meaning the result is the same, it's the explanation that's going to differ. The result is the divorce is a divorce and he's got to remarry her. Why that's true, so according to Rav and Abaye, it's going to come out for two different explanations. Okay. Example number two. Scenario number two. Hari Torah Mineral Yafa Derachmana Amar Mikol Chabo Chabo In Girun La. Okay. You take off Truma. Now, the Torah says you have to take off the Chalev. Now, Chalev literally translates it's fat, but not here. Fat over here means the best. Right? And the best way to remember this is when you go get a piece of steak. So the steak that's lean, it's not good. I'm not speaking from a cardiology standpoint. I'm not speaking from a health standpoint. I'm speaking from when you actually enjoy it. So in other words, the fat is the best. So the Torah, when the Torah says kol chelev, that you have to take off the best for your truma. Okay? Which, again, just without being too fancy, makes perfect sense. Meaning, there's the kohen. Torah says, you give him a portion of your grapes and wine and grains, and you got to give them the best stuff. Okay, good. Now, the Torah says, kol chalbo. Chalbo in, girun lo. Now, this is an interesting discussion because I'm not sure if I would call this a lav. Right? This is more like a lav haba mechlala se. Meaning the Torah says to give them the best, and by inference we know the best means not the worst. So, it's interesting because the Gemara now is using the Abaye and Rava platform and trying to fit it into this, which isn't exactly a lav. But be that the case, but meanwhile, though, watch. What happens if I don't give them the best grapes? Meaning I go after harvesting the grapes, I look at the grapes and say, this one's bad and this one's bad, and I start plucking out all the really bad grapes. And then I make a little basket of it, I go over to my kohen and I say, here you go. Here's Truma. And I give him the worst stuff, the most inferior of my crop. Alma, and I'm sorry, and what does the Mishnah tell us, Mishnah Trumos? It says, you shouldn't have done it, but Trumas or Truma. Okay, it works. So now, right, if we're gonna hear this again and again, so you'll get used to it. So if you're Abaye, perfect, right? Torah says, don't do that. But if you do it, it works. Iyav and Mahane. And according to Rava, that's going to be difficult. Good. Amma Mahane to Yufta de Rava. So the Gemara says it's a kasha on Rava. Amlecha Rava, Shani Hasam, Karebi Alai. The Amma Rabbi Alai. Minayin Latar Minarala, Yafe, Shi Trumas, Shi Trumas, Shi Nemer, Velo Sisu, Alav Chet, Barim Chem, Es Chaba Mimenu. Im Edom Kodesh, Nisios Chet Lama, Mikan Latar Minarala, Yafe, Shi Trumas, Shi Trumas. So what Abaye is going to tell you, sorry, let me do that again. What Rav is going to tell you is, here, special pasuk. Now get used to this kind of answer, because this is the kind of answer that you're going to be hearing again and again through the course of this morning and through half of tomorrow morning, which is, Rav will say that normally my default position is lo mehane. But if there's a pasuk that goes out of its way to tell you that in this particular case, it has effectiveness, so special gzeres hakasuf. So Rava will tell you over here, special gzeres hakasuf. The Torah says, lo sisu alav chet. Don't bear a sin when you do this. Why is the Torah telling you don't bear a sin? If I'm telling you not to do it, obviously there's consequences. So what Rava is saying, in this particular case, it's more than just the consequence of Malkus. The consequence is, it actually will be effective in this particular case. Now, ula Abaye. Now, the question now bounces back on Abaye. Because remember, what's Abaye's default position? It works. So according to Abaye, meaning I know I violate a law, but it works. So why do I need special pasuk? Right? Ula Abaye ilav da amarachmana v'lo sisu olav chet hava min ha'ach amarachmana avid mitzvah min ha'mamchar v'ilo avid chote lo mikre. Because here's what I would have done without that special pasuk. I would have simply said, l'chatzchilam b'di'evin. Now, lichatchila means the best way to do something. Bidyevin means not the best way to do something. I might have thought that the Torah was giving us a scale of lichatchila bidyevin. Lichatchila, give the Kohen the best stuff. Bidyevin, you'll give him the worst stuff. But you're not going to be called a chote, meaning you'll just be a bidyevin. Right? In other words, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's marking, you won't get an A. Now, it depends who you are, by the way, because I was thinking of going down to a B, but some people are happy with a B. So, I know you people are out there. So, right, so instead of giving an A, you'll get a C. Okay, not that great. Right, so the, but you're not, in other words, but it's not a chote. Right? In other words, in my grading scale, it's not an F. So, but it's not a great analogy because, again, it works. So, but in terms of, all right, whatever. So, but nevertheless, that's what I would have thought according to Abaye, Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush is that that it's a Chir Chote, which is still difficult to understand because what does that mean? Meaning it still works. It's still, the Truma is still a Truma, but now you're given a status of Chote. I don't know. I'm just being honest right now. I'm being candid. I don't know what that adds to the whole story. Meaning, it's not a legal loophole. Meaning, it's not a preferred way to do it. And we'll say it a little bit stronger. It's not the right way to do it, but it still works. It still works. Okay. So yeah. Right, right. That correct. Correct. Meaning, but in other words, just from the halachic mind standpoint. Meaning, now that he's instead of being a bidyevin, now it's downgraded to a chote. Good. In other words, I understand that's bad, but lamaisa, practically speaking, what does that mean? Okay. Vahare mimino sheino mino damar rechmana kol chelav yitzar liten chelav zev chelav zev. Okay. Now here's another example. Okay, let's keep our discussion limited to grapes, olives, and wheat. Okay? I know you can take truma from a selection of other things, and we also know, we've talked about this in the past, it's about Machlokes Rishonim, Rambam Rashi, whether or not truma applies to any of the other produce. Okay, but leave that all out of the discussion right now. Let's just deal with grapes, olives, and wheat. Now, here's the story, right? If you, in your farm, are growing all three of them, and you want to give truma, so you got to keep all the species separate. Meaning, when you give grapes to the Kohen, it has to be the truma of grapes on grapes. You want to give olives to the Kohen, the truma of olives on olives. Meaning, what you can't do, you can't double up on grapes and say to the Kohen, here's, I'm giving you now truma of grapes, and I'm doubling up, so it'll cover both the grapes and the olives. You can't do that. Each one has to be kept separate. Litein chelav lazev, chelav lazev, it's none. Now, but what if you do? What if you violate? What if you double up on grapes and say to the Kohen, here, I'm giving you truma for grapes and for olives as well. And don't worry, I give you a double portion of grapes. So we're good. So what does the Mishnah tell us? Ein torah mimin al sheino mino, v'im toram, ein trumas of truma. So here it will not work. Good. Already, what do we know? Rav is going to love this, and Abaye is not going to be so happy, right? Because what does Rav say? That Iyamar Rachmana lo savin lo mahani. It doesn't work. Good. That's exactly what we'd like to see, according to Rav. Amar lo mahani to if to da Abaye. So the Gemara says, good. This is going to be difficult for Abaye. Amar Abaye shani asum damakra reishi sam. Again, just get used to this because this is the kind of discussion we'll be having this morning. In this case, it's different. Why is it different over here? Because the Torah says, Reishi Sam. It's first. Meaning that you must take off the first for each one. Reishis Lezev, Reishis Lezev, Echena Mar Vilai, Reishis, Reishi Sam. And Rav Elai also says the same thing. Ula Rava, now, according to Rava, why was that necessary? Meaning, because remember, according to Rava, Lo Mahani, it doesn't work. If the Torah says don't do it, and you try to do it, it doesn't work. So why do I need a special pasuk over here? Because Elav Damarachmana Rashis Lazah Hava Amina Tirash Vyitza Dikhsibahu Khalev Khalev the Ain Tormi Mizah Alza Aval Tirosh Vidagan So we're gonna we're gonna take out some lines of Gemara over here. I think we will. Okay. All right, we'll just I'll just read it, but Chelav v'chelav de'ein tarmi mizal zav al tirush v'dagan dagan v'dagan dechad chelak sibahu ki tarim mehai ahai lo laki kazerich rena reishis l'tein chelav zav v'chelav zav. If you look at the pasuk, all right, I don't have the pasuk in front of me right now. It's a pasuk in Parshas Korach. If you take a look at the pasuk says kol chelav. Here, let me do me a favor. Let me just borrow your the Gemara for a second, right? Kol chelav yitzar v'chol chelav tirosh v'dagan. Yeah. So the Torah says in Parshas Korach, chelav yitzar, right? That's your first of your olives, and then kol chelav tirosh v'dagan. For some reason, the Torah lumps together grapes and grains, right? So without a special pasuk, I might have thought that when it comes to olives, for whatever reason, they have to be kept separate. But grapes and grains intermingle. You can intermingle. But like it's okay to mix it up a little bit, you know, to double up on the grapes and give on behalf of the grains. I would have thought that. So that's why the Torah has to say the words Reishisam. Lishna achrina. So hatirash v'dagan dechad chelav ksibahu tari mehai ahai kazarachwana reishis. Okay. The Lishna achrina seems to be the same exact thing that we just said. Good. All right, so that was example number three. I guess you can argue about how to count it up. But anyway, so far, okay, Machlok Zabai and Rava, right? So we're almost finished with side A of today. Machlok Zabai and Rava, the Torah says don't do it, and you do it. Is it effective or not effective? Abaye says it is effective. Rava says it's not effective. So far, we've seen the example of what happens when a man divorces his anusa, where the Torah says don't do it. We saw the example of taking off truma from the inferior onto the superior, where the Torah says don't do that. We saw the example of where you take off from grapes onto olives or olives onto grapes, where the Torah says don't do that. And again, right now it comes out that Lamaisa, practically speaking, even though Abaye and Rava argue conceptually, practically there's no difference as of yet. And by the end of today, if I could just prepare you, by the end of today, we won't find a practical difference between Abaye and Rava. Tomorrow, we'll find a practical difference between Abaye and Rava. Hare charamim damar rechman lo yimkor v'lo yigael. Cherem, right? Erchin, end of Erchin. We just did it. It was the last daf of Erchin. Last two dapim of Erchin. Where the Torah says that you have to, if you would like to consecrate something for the Kohanim, you give it a shem cherem, and now it is Mukdash towards the Kohen. And the Torah says, lo yimachir v'lo yigael. Now here, you can't sell it, you can't redeem it, meaning it's earmarked for a Kohen, it must go to a Kohen. Utsanan chere mekohanim, ein podenosan, ein podenos, ein lampijon. Okay, right, fine, it can be done. Meaning, even if I try to do it, it won't work. So Elanos and the Kohen, but you must give it to a Kohen. I'm a Lamahanit, you have to da Abaye. So already we know the story. The story is that Abaye is not going to be happy over here because Abaye would tell you that even though the Torah says don't do it, but if I do it, it's effective. Shani Hasan, Dama Rechmana, Kodesh, Kadashim, Hu, Be'ev Yasan, Yehu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's a special pasuk over here that tells me that it's Kodesh Kadashim. Ula Rava, Hai, Hu, Lem Ute, Bechor. Now, according to Rava, why do I need special pasuk? Because according to Rava, I know that it's not effective. I didn't need that pasuk to tell me that I can't redeem it. So the Gemara says it's coming to teach me about Bechor. Did Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Bechor, Namar Losiv Deh, Vinimkarhu. By a Bechor, it says that you can't redeem it, right? When you have a Bechor, firstborn animal, so that's it, it has Kedushas Bechor. And even when it gets a blemish on it, it's not redeemable. When it gets a blemish on it, can you sell it? Sure. No problem at all. When I say you, by the way, which you am I referring to? I'm referring to a Kohen. Meaning the Bechor is still given to the Kohen, still property of the Kohen, but once the Kohen gets it in his hands, so he can sell it. There's a funny Rashi over here. You want to take a look at the second Rashi on the page? Shim nafa b'mom yachol amochro l'Kohen. So Rashi over here says that you can sell it to a Kohen. That's a funny Rashi, because once the Kohen has it, it's his. He could do whatever he wants with it. He can sell it to whomever he wants. So the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon over here on this Rashi, does a little bit of surgery. Where's the Vilna Gaon's all the way on the bottom, right? The Vilna Gaon just simply says, take out the words Lakoing. You know, it's a hard to understand Rashi as we have it inside. In fact, it was so difficult, the Vilna Gaon says, just simply remove it. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Losif devinim karhu. But Meiser nemar lo yigal ve'eno nimkar. Now, lo chai ve'lo shachar ve'lo tam ve'lo ba'amum. So, and that's not true by Meiser behema. Meaning by Meiser behema, you can't at all. Meaning you can't redeem it, you can't sell it. Meiser behema, that's it. So, in contradistinction to Meiser behema, where you can't redeem it, you can't sell it, a bechor, you can sell. How do I know that? So Rava says, I get that from the extra who. All right. Vahare Tamura. We're up to now. So far, we have not yet determined who is correct. Meaning in each scenario, what the Gemara does is explains for each position. Right now, it's the tie. It's tie. It's tie score. And it will... Okay, now we're up to Tamura. And in the story of Tamura, which is, by the way, why this entire discussion, it's a blah and a half of Gemara. And really, the Gemara could have laid this down in so many different places throughout Shas. Why is it found in Tamura? A, gives us a great Shas topic in the middle of Tamura. And B, because Tamura is an excellent example. What does the Torah say by Tamura? Don't do it. Lo yirmirenu v'lo yachlifenu. Don't do it. But meanwhile, what happens if you do it? It works. It works. Good. So Abai is very happy right now on the Tamura front. So, I'm sorry. Tamura damar rechman lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oso v'tana lo shah damar shalai mir elashim heimir mumar v'sofek es arbaim. So we quote the Mishnah again. And the Mishnah says that if you do it, it's effective. And you're going to get malchus. Ama mehane. So what a perfect, it's like a perfect case study for Abaye. Torah says, don't do it, and meanwhile you did it, it works. Tiyufta de Rava, and the Gemara says, and this is difficult for Rava. I don't know why, I'm just going to throw out a question. Throughout this entire discussion, the Gemara keeps using the language of Tiyufta. Now we know Tiyufta is usually the conversation ender. Meaning usually in the Gemara, when the Gemara says the words Tiyufta, it means story over. Meaning it's a knockout punch, right? It's TKO. And for some reason, and you know, I mean, we're already now through the second half of today's daf, and you already see that it's not a TKO, meaning everyone keeps getting back up. So I just don't know why the Gemara keeps using the language of Tiyufta. Probably the language I would have expected would have been Kasha or something like that.
Yeah, Tiyufta,
right. Usually, right. Tiyufta, right. Tiyufta, the Rav Tiyufta. You're right. It's a double language, but just. You know, they're speaking to each other in very strong language. Where, in other words, right after that, the Gemara then ends up having an answer for each one. So it's okay, just a ha'ara. Am lechashani hasam damakrav ayahu's moraso yekodesh. So Rava will say in his defense, yeah, but that's why the pasuk reads on, meaning read on in the pasuk. The pasuk says who's moraso yekodesh, that it and its counterpart will be kodesh. I need the Torah to tell me that because if the Torah had not told me that, I would have said. That was a nice try. Doesn't work. So that's why the Torah goes out of its way to say, who's the most Yeh Kodesh? In fact, Ula Abaye, now we turn our attention back to Abaye. You know, Rava just made a very good point. That the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that it will have Kedusha. Ilav damar rachman avayu usmur sohava mina teitzei zu v'tikanei zu. So Abaye will tell you, look, I'm going to explain to you beautifully why it is that the Torah had to go out of its way. Because imagine for a moment, the Torah didn't go out of its way. What's my position? I'avid mehani. It works. What were you trying to do? You were trying to exchange the Kedusha from one carbon to another. Good. Had it not been for the Torah, you know what I would have said? Check. Done. Meaning exchange worked. I went from carbon A to carbon B. That's why I need the Pasuk to tell me who usmur so ye kodesh, that it and its counterpart will be kodesh. Kamash malan. Good. So now we've explained for Rava, we've explained for Abaye. And again, it comes out, practically speaking here, now they agree. Of course, both animals have kedusha. It's just a question of whether or not it spoke to either mehani or lamahani. V'hare b'chor d'amar rachmana lo sifde. Now, a b'chor. Torah says don't redeem it. You cannot redeem a b'chor. Now, I already gave away who is this going to support, because I said you can't redeem a b'chor. That's not what the Torah says. Torah says don't redeem a b'chor. But what if you do? So v'tanan, yesh lahem pijon, ulus merseyan, pijon chutz min a b'chor min a meiser. So we learned a Mishnah. We will learn a Mishnah. Okay, both are true. That the Mishnah says that you can't redeem a b'chor. It doesn't work. Lamahani tiyufta da Abaye. So great for Rava, bad for Abaye. Amlechash ani hasam da makra hem be'aviyasan Yehu. So Abaye will tell you, yeah, you know why it doesn't work over here? Because the Torah says it doesn't work. The Torah says, hem, they are kadosh. And they are not subject to being redeemed. And by the way, when I say being redeemed, I mean even after it gets a blemish, still cannot redeem it. Ula Rava Hai Haim Lamale. Hain Kravin Vin Tamurasan Kravin. So what will Rava tell you? I also need the Pasuk of Haim. I need the Pasuk for Haim to tell me that if I try to affect Tamur with Bechor, we will learn this later on in the Masechta. In other words, so I have a Bechor carbon, and I try to affect Tamur to another animal. What's the consequence? Consequence is that the second animal is in fact a tamura, but not to be offered. Hain craven tamura some craven. Ula Abaye haisvar minale. Now the Gemara turns its attention to Abaye. You agree, right? Where do you get it from? Where's your pasuk? Imshur imset lahashem. Hu lahashem crave v'ein tamurasto craven. Yeah. It is offered as a carbon, but not its tamur. V'rava inachinami, demeo kra. So the Gemara says, Rava actually changes his mind, but Rava agrees that really is a pasuk. Ela haim lamali, so back to the pasuk of haim. Leimet al-bechor ha-meiser, shinet ariv damam b'chol ha-olim, shekrevim lagabim mizbeach. Blood of a bechor gets mixed up with blood of other carbonos. So now you have a big bowl of blood mixed up with the blood of Bechor and other carbonos, it's fine. You can sprinkle on the Mizbeach. V'Abaye ha'isvar minale. What about Abaye? What does he learn that from? Mi v'lakach midam apar midam se'ir. V'alo dam apar meruba mishal se'ir. Mikan la'olin she'in mevatlin zeh zeh. I go to the Yom Kippur model because the Yom Kippur model tells me I mix the blood of the goat and the bull. The blood of the bull is presumably a lot more than the blood of the goat. And meanwhile, the Torah says, you're sprinkling them on the Mizbeach HaPanimi, on the Paroches, on Yom Kippur. But, right, how do we not say that the blood of the bull is going to overwhelm the blood of the goat? Torah says, it doesn't. D'tanya v'lakach midam apar midam asir. Shu meravin divrei Rav Yoshia. So they're mixed together, and yet it works. That's how I know that when the bloods get mixed together, they still works. V'rava hasa mizebif ne'asma mizebif ne'asma. V'sevela k'rebi Yonasan. What's Rava's counter-argument to that? I don't agree that the bloods are mixed together. It's a machlokis tanayim. Whether or not the bloods are actually mixed together, I subscribe to the view that the bloods are not mixed together. So therefore, I can't learn anything from the bloods of Yom Kippur.
Are they also
chayalik no, meaning by min memino in a mevatel, that's true by blood. Then there's another debate whether or not I could take that and apply it to Shar Isurim. Okay. Good. Right. Okay, next. Okay, almost done for today. I know. No, nothing. Dr. Zaghi, you're not going to be happy. No takeaways. No takeaways from today. But still, though, it was just a review of a lot of excellent sugyas of the Gemara. Next, we're up to Vahare Meiser. Okay? Meiser. Now, Meiser is over here, Meiser Behema. 10th animal selected. 10th animal now has Kedusha. It's going to be brought up to the base of Mikdash, offered as a carbon, Karbon Shlamim. You're going to enjoy the Meiser Behema. Vahare Meiser, Damar Rechmana, Lo Yigael. Now, once it is selected as your Meiser Behema, that's it. It is invested with Kedusha. Whether it's blemished, whether it's not blemished, it does not matter. And even if it's blemished, I cannot redeem it. Utanan. And meanwhile, it can't be redeemed. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says that if I try to redeem it, it won't work. Amalamani tiyufta da Abaye. So that's going to be difficult for Abaye. Amalacha shani hasam dialef avara avara mi bechor. Okay, and so what's Abaye going to tell you? Gzeira shava. Just like Bechor, I cannot be redeemed. And even if I try to, it can't. And we learned up above why that's the case. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us. So over here, Gzeira shava, same thing is true by Meiser Behema. Hare higdima truma lebikurim dama rechmana. We go back to an example that should sound familiar. Again, yesterday's daf. I go out of order. The Torah gives me a very specific order in terms of how to take off Shumas and Maisos. First Bikurim, then Truma, then Maiser Rishon, then Maiser Sheni. And it must be specifically in that order. And meanwhile, the Torah tells us that it cannot be ma'acher. You cannot put things out of order. And meanwhile, we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says it works. Even though the Torah says don't do it, it's effective. So, okay, the Gemara cuts out words as if we already know now the sequence. How does this work? Great for Abaye, difficult for Rava. Amal Charava, Shani Hasam, Damakra, Mikol Ma'asroseichem, Tarimu. Again, Pasuk. Special Pasuk that tells me over here, Kol Ma'asroseichem, all your Meiser. Meaning even the Meiser that you took out of order is still Meiser. Ula Abaye. Now, according to Abaye, why do I need a Pasuk? I already know that it's effective because my default position is always going to be Iavid Mehani. So Ula Abaye mi baye le, kida amr le rapapa la Abaye elamiata afilu hikdima bikri nami niftar. Abaye says, well, look, what if I took it off even before I brought it into the silo? So Amala Allah Makra Mikomas Rosechem Tarimo. Right? Mikomasrechem Tarimo. Ma Risala Rabos and Sakri Lahotzi Sashibolan. Now, as long as I piled it up, as long as I've made piles of it, it's gonna work. What about if it's still out in the stalks? Can I take off Truman and Mice for then? So the Gemara says no. And the Gemara says, because while it's out in the field, it's not yet digun, it's not even grain yet. Meaning it's so not chayiv in Shumas and Maisos, it's not even at the point. But once I bring it into the house, and once I just bring the actual grain into the house, it now has the shame digun. And now if I take off Maisos, even though I did so prematurely, it will work. Let's do one more for this morning. Hare amana le kohen gadol de rachmana amar amana grusha le ikach v'tanan kol makom sheyesh kiddushin v'yesh aver havlado lecha achra pagum. Now, you know that a kohen cannot marry a grusha. What if he does? What if he does? It works. Okay. Shani hacha damakra lo yechalalu zaro. So the pasuk says lo yechalalu zaro, meaning the Torah acknowledges that it works. Because the Torah says, what happens when a kohen marries the grusha? The child will be a chalal. Ula abaye nemakra lo yachal. My lo yachalel. I'm sorry, echalal ve'echad la. So the Gemara says, no, because what Abaye needs the pasuk to tell me is that not only does a child become chilul, she becomes mechulalas. Meaning, she, through the act of bia with the kohen, she becomes a chalala. So, okay, good. Let's pause over here, okay? Tomorrow we'll pick it up, right? We have a series of more examples to go over tomorrow. Gzela, Mashkon, Peah, okay. Ribbis, okay, so many examples. Okay, a couple of things before we conclude. First of all, from here forward,